Okay, so you know how it goes. You're on a mission. You're on a mission of some sort. Something strikes you, and so you walk to the other end of the house or the other side of your place of work. And before you even get to where you're going, you forget where you're going. Right? Happens to me all the time. At least once a week. You lost it. You forget where you're going. So you have to retrace your steps for like 20 minutes. And so that's how it goes. Or think of it this way. You send your kid on a mission to go make their bed or go clean up their mess of a room. And an hour later, you find them doing something completely different, playing Legos or something, having never completed the original mission they've been sent to complete. I fear that this is kind of like us with our mission as Christians. We sort of forget what we're supposed to be doing. We forget we're supposed to be on a mission. The old coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, was famous for starting every Green Bay Packers season by holding up a football and saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And it seems pretty likely that professional football players already know what a football looks like. But the point I think he is trying to get across was that it's necessary to get back to the very basics and make sure to start with a sure foundation. This is kind of what we're doing for this sermon series. And I think our scripture for this week, this great commission that we're reading, can be another one of these back to the basics kind of speeches for us to help us get back on track when we've sort of forgotten what we're supposed to be doing. Our scripture is from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So every week, in preparation for our time together, usually Monday morning, I sit down and I study the scripture. This week, it's the Great Commission scripture from Matthew. And so I read and read commentaries on the passage of scripture. This week, one of my commentaries sort of surprised me. And it asked me the question regarding our Great Commission scripture. The author asked, "What is so great about the Great Commission?" Never thought about that. Jesus actually never calls it great. The scripture eventually assigned the word, the scripture was eventually assigned the word great by those who titled the scripture later in the old King James Bible. Jesus reserves that word great for the great commandment, the love God with your whole heart and soul and mind, as we talked about last week. So why is it so great? Is it? I think it may be the case for many of us that when we hear this scripture, the Great Commission, it may seem too great, a daunting task for us, so much so that we're not exactly sure how to make it apply to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Not sure I have this disciple thing down myself. So when we hear this, go and make disciples of all nations, we may have some doubts. We may feel less than inspired or encouraged, but instead, maybe we feel just a little bit guilty, maybe. Because in everyday life, it's difficult to see how we can actually live out this evangelism stuff. Perhaps we don't feel all that equipped to actually be called into such a great commission. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded." Assumed in this commission is that we actually are disciples ourselves. That's the first step, that we actually obey what Jesus commands ourselves. American poet Ralph Waldo Emerson said once, "What you do speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying." We can't ignore the commands of Jesus and then turn around trying to convince others to be a disciple of Jesus. We have to obey the commands of Jesus ourselves and be a disciple of Jesus ourselves if we're going to make any attempt to get others to do the same. Our mission trip, mission statement here at First Christian Church is that we are to be and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to be a disciple ourselves. We have to be the good news. And it may be that one of the best ways we can begin to even think about making disciples is by being one in the first place. Showing that living as a disciple of Jesus, showing what that looks like, and others may just begin to be more willing to step out in faith. But as our mission statement says, we're not only called to be the good news, but to share the good news as well. So it's likely the case that you may already be a disciple of Jesus, that you're really trying to learn to obey the commands of Jesus, but still have a hard time sharing the good news. This evangelism stuff is tricky, I know. Let me tell you a little bit about what we can actually do, but let me start by start with what we might not do. There's plenty to learn that way, because lots and lots of people have made a bad name of Christianity by doing bad evangelism. Author Rebecca Pippert tells a story about a time when she was sitting in her car at a traffic light with her window rolled down. And as the light turned green, a car drove up, and the person in the car driving by threw something into her car, hitting her in the face. And didn't hurt her, but she was startled, and so she pulled her car over right away and unrolled what had hit her in the face, this piece of paper, to find out what was thrown at her. And she discovered that what was thrown at her was actually some sort of evangelistic literature, a gospel tract, as they call it. She was a victim of what she called torpedo evangelism. Just because we're called to share the good news of Jesus doesn't mean we need to go around with this sort of torpedo evangelism. Maybe you've experienced something like this before, with someone just throwing Jesus around at anyone they meet, hoping something will stick. This kind of drive-by evangelism not only doesn't work, it's not very much like Jesus to just drive by with that kind of thing. Instead of this kind of torpedo evangelism, as we're sort of learning to be disciples of Jesus, along the way, work to develop real relationships with people. That's a better way. Develop real relationships with people. And when the time is right, humbly share the good news that you found in Jesus. The statistics show that most Christians actually have very few, if any, significant relationships with people outside of the church. Somebody said, evangelizing in the church is like fishing in a bathtub. It's terribly convenient, but you don't catch much. If we're going to take this commission of Jesus seriously and make new disciples, we have to develop relationships with people in circles beyond the church. We need to get to know people outside of the church and then let them get to know Jesus in the process. develop real relationships with people outside of the church, and be ready to share with them the good news you've found. I have another example of what not to do. There was a certain unnamed presidential candidate that was interviewed not so long ago, and the subject got on Christianity, as it so often does in these political races. And so here's the quote from the candidate. "I believe very, very strongly. I'm a big believer in the Bible," said the candidate. "Nothing beats the Bible," he said. When he was interviewed, the reporter said to the candidate, "I'm wondering what about one or two of your favorite Bible verses. What are they?" And the candidate replied, "You know, I talk about the Bible, and it's very personal to me." So the reporter urged, "There's no verse that means a lot to you that you think about or could cite for us?" And the candidate says, "You know, the Bible means a lot to me, but I don't want to get into specifics." 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give a reason for the hope you have." Always be prepared. My guess is that the candidate drew a blank. Maybe he's big on the idea of the Bible, but not so much in actual content. Or maybe he just froze. Of course, something similar could be said about us, maybe. We may not really be ready. Maybe we're not really ready with a response. So we could think, what is so good about the good news? Why does Jesus matter in my life? Why is my faith important? These are good questions for us to consider so we might be ready to give an answer for the hope we have. You may still have more than a few doubts about how we can carry out this great commission. But let me assure you, though we need to be a disciple of Jesus ourselves first, we don't have to have it all together before responding to this commission. We would never, ever go as we were commanded if that was the case. If we look a little deeper in our scripture today, our scripture from Matthew 28 is the very end of the gospel, after the resurrection and everything. And actually, this is the first scene that the disciples of Jesus show up in after they all fled and abandoned Jesus. But now we find the disciples on top of a mountain ready to worship the resurrected Jesus. Well, mostly they were ready to worship. The scripture actually says when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. There they were on top of this mountain with the resurrected Jesus, and they doubted. And then in no time at all, Jesus turns around and tells them, these same disciples who have these doubts, these same disciples who abandoned Jesus says, "Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And the crazy thing is they actually do it. These flawed followers of Jesus actually do it. They go and make disciples. We know that they did it, because we wouldn't be here today if flawed people throughout the history of Christianity didn't ever go and make disciples. It's not the perfect, unwavering people. It's the imperfect people of faith who Jesus calls into this great mission. And it is great. This is what we're supposed to be doing. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be without a doubt. You don't have to be the most knowledgeable Bible scholar out there. But you can be prepared. You can be prepared with the reason for the hope you have. You can be a disciple. You can be ready to share the good news you found in Jesus. So, therefore, go and make disciples. Amen.